Cyberpunk.
The technological creation of smarter than human intelligence.
This is a warm-up, folks, and we're getting tuned up for heaven.
They haven't wiped out human species yet.
The first successful creation of a non-biological life form will mark the beginning, the exact beginning, of the end of Homo sapiens.
One of the easiest genetic hacks likely to happen in the next decade will allow people to change their skin pigmentation, and not merely to the extant choices, but purple, orange, blue. This is some big shit. This ought to give you visions and nightmares. The technoculture is still endlessly countercultural. The idea of an open source culture that everyone should have access to all the data and be able to participate in an open, anarchistic, creative process, whether it involves designing software or putting on a cultural event or even in a political campaign, evolved out of ideas. File sharing, the idea that information that is infinitely replicable and easily shared with anyone anywhere in the world should be shared. These sorts of ideas form the dim outline of a new way of organizing a society where we don't impose mere material scarcity in situations where there isn't any. The way hackers and other computer enthusiasts and ravers and old-school punkers and bloggers and Burning Man attendees will work and play and put in their own time and money to do something, not just because there is a potential for profits or awards or honors, but out of sheer enthusiasm, indicates something about human beings that goes unrecognized in both capitalist and socialist societies that presume people have to be coerced into making efforts. Granted a certain amount of autonomy, a certain permission to put some creativity into their work, and a certain shared sense of community, people will do all kinds of stuff simply because it's engaging to do and can be shared. It may indicate a kind of future after robotics, developments in nanotechnology, and so forth, eliminate most forms of tedious labor. In the 60s, Tim Leary, William Burroughs, Frank Zappa, the original hippie, B.N. Stedman, they all talked about mutants and mutations. And if you're old enough, you'll remember that we like to call ourselves freaks or freaks, F-R-E-E-K-S, not hippies. Mutation is resonant of comic books, science fiction, horror, X-Men, Children of the Damned, gooey Cronenbergian deviants, glam rock, Devo, Church of the Subgenius, gender-fucking, psychedelic drugs, and new improved stimulants. It's wicked fun.
Well, I think one of the big differences between then and now is that today we have a whole generation or two that's grown up with this shit. We have people who have, people for whom living online is as natural as living through books was for us. We have to assume that this is their life.
Everything from psychedelics to modern art or art in general or the cyberculture, what it really does is it affects your outlook on the world at large. It permanently, I think, re-imprints you in a way. And for those of us who have experienced those things, we have a different perspective. That perspective impacts and influences the choices we make and the lives that we lead.
We are in an era of mass and mutant artificial intelligence and connectivity between all of us.
A web that's all around us, a geo-web, a technology that knows where it is, objects that can blog and that are outfitted with various tags. So cyberspace is no longer a place that we go to through this window on our screen, but it's actually an overlay on top of our physical reality. And sort of hands-on crafting and technology hacking, hardware hacking, really is almost sort of a response to the virtualization of everything. I think that's what the web enables, right, is the opportunity to actually see what other people are doing. You know, you're not the kid at home, in your house and a teenager listening to music that, people make fun of you about or whatever it is. You can actually find this kind of community online. And
security theater, not about actually achieving positive, useful, social useful results. It's about looking like you're doing something. It's like, like going through the TSA and having to take off your shoes. Or having to, the war on liquids above 3 ounces. These are, this is not actually meaningful in terms of security.
All these things give me a kind of a gut feeling that we are in period of that I have a specific threat, that I have in mind right now, but that we are entering a period of increased vulnerability.
What data in the citizen's mind are protected? Do we need something like a search warrant or so to extract this information from a person's nervous system?
Fetish for the technology.
The military-industrial complex not only controls our government, lock, stock, and barrel, but they control our culture.
Produced by the Greater Mental Pressure Corporation.
of the mental issue and
increase. Younger fucking psychedelic drugs and new improved stimulants. It's wicked fun.
We are in an era of mass and mutant artificial intelligence and connectivity between all of us.
Developments in nanotechnology.
Smart drugs.
This outrageous proposition.
In the early years of the 21st century, terrorism was used by governments across the world as a pretext to scare their populations into submission. Life became a surveillance grid nightmare, with every individual's actions ruthlessly catalogued and recorded by the state. Secret arrests, checkpoints, and warrantless searches spread. The final incremental march of the police state, culminating in open martial law. This is the story of how the elite sold their people into slavery and scared the once proud and brave people of the West into submitting to being cannon fodder in wars for world domination.
Our enemies have made clear the danger they pose to our security.
We're just right outside the security perimeter at this national security event in New York City, just a few hundred yards away from Madison Square Garden.
All right.
Where at least 10,000...
Cyberpunk Radio San Francisco is bitching, baby.
Pirate Radio broadcasting in Citizen.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Cyberpunk Radio.
If anybody's going to accurately predict the future.
Bye-bye.
This guy is well equipped to do
something. It's going to be something far out.
I must go now.
This is fucking pretty far out.
Thanks for listening to Cyberpunk Radio, brought to you by Def Weezer Productions.
Visit Def Weezer Productions on the net, baby, at www.mental-escher.net.
Bye-bye. I must go now.
This is the first of a two-part special Neophiles, True Mutations, live at City Lights, all about my book, True Mutations, Conversations on the Edge of Science, Technology, and Culture, with Lynn Hirschman, David Peskovitz, and Jamar Cascio.
It's a Neophiles True Mutations special program, live from City Lights, and we're here to celebrate, as the lady said, my own recent collection of interviews, True Mutations, and to help me do that, we've brought together three incredible, or perhaps credible, people who were interviewed in the book. We've got film director and artist Lynn Hirschman, Jaime Cascio, futurist who helped launch worldchanging.com, among other things, and one of the fab David Peskovitz from Boing Boing and many other fine projects.
A delivery system for propaganda.